Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are doing a tight end rundown here. So going down the entire list of the tight ends here in looking at what we can learn and where we sort of are through 3 weeks. Ertz, 54 out of 62 routes was his participation. So a pretty good number there. Second on the team in targets, 6 for 45. That might not seem particularly attractive, but I call that 16.5 points in safe leagues on 10 targets there. So notably, Trey McBride, only 5 snaps, 4th on the team. So definitely a long, slow simmer for him is where we are at with him. But Ertz, firmly in lineups, right? I mean, I think, and it's interesting because you're seeing AJ Green get hurt. This became an absolute pass funnel to basically Ertz, Dortch, and Hollywood Brown. And listen, like this, I think that Kyler is basically becoming like the 2022 version of like garbage time Blake Bortles. That's almost what he is at this point. Like they get down and he just kind of throws them back into it. Ertz is benefiting from that. Up to tight end 4 on the season, 8.4 yards per catch. So not great there in terms of overall productivity, but at 32 years old, still grinding away, you know, ahead of guys like Waller as well. So so good performance there for Zach Ertz. And I, you know, honestly, like I don't expect the role to go anywhere because they're losing guys more than they're replenishing guys at this point. Atlanta. So the squeaky wheel, I don't know if I would necessarily consider Kyle Pitts the squeaky wheel. It didn't seem too squeaky, but it was more the fantasy community that was squeaky after some comments that Arthur Smith made. Listen, I think Arthur Smith's a good coach. Like, we're consistently seeing him do smart things offensively. The curious thing about this to me, right, so 5 for 87 for Pitts, that's good. The curious thing about this, and I don't have a good answer to this, and I don't know. It's something I think we have to continue to like try and figure out why they're doing this. And it's probably people smarter than me from maybe a tape perspective could maybe tell us this. But 17 routes on 26 dropbacks. We consistently see him running about 2/3 route participation. And that's just frankly not going to cut it in terms of like some elite high-end production. So we do get him all the way up. Again, this is how sort of basically bad the tight end position is, that 5 for 87, he basically had what, like 2 catches? I think he had what, two catches or something to that effect, or less than 10 points through 2 weeks. And then he goes off for 5 for 87. So now he has, he had 4 catches through 2 weeks. So now with 5 for 87, he is up to tight end 14 on the season. So again, things can really change kind of quickly, right? We know how flat of a tier that is. And this is a kind of a good example of that, right? So, and just like, for example, like just as we're thinking about this, so again, it's early, but I think this kind of gives us an idea here. So Mark Andrews is at 21.6 points per game. Travis Kelce's at 17.4 points per game. This is just straight PPR. The next best tight end after that is at 12.7 points per game. That's Tyler Conklin. Okay, that is a full, like, that is almost 9 full points difference between Mark Andrews and Tyler Conklin. So when you take that and you actually look, like, even if you go down to, like, where Kelce's at, he's basically 4.7 points per game better than tight end 3, who's Tyler Conklin. Like, when you take 4.7 off of Tyler Conklin, right? So go the same distance of which Kelce and Conklin are together. That takes you all the way down to tight end 13. Okay, and then you actually go the full distance when you actually look down at you start seeing this big drop off. So I'm interested to sort of see how, like, who can sort of step into that lane, but it's just a huge tier, right? And this is something that we see. So why do we really shoot for sort of the guys that can sort of have the high efficiency, that can sort of get all the way to the top, because there's so much blending in at the position, right? It's a very, from tight end four, who's Ertz at 11.8, down to tight end 20, it's basically a 5-point difference. So that's a little more than five point six point difference, which again is almost the difference between 3 and 2. So a huge difference there, and we sort of see that at the tight end position. Super steep drop off. So getting to the top at that position, super critical. And we sort of see how Pitts can basically be bad through a couple of weeks and jump up to being basically a fringe tight end one already, because that gap is super small. But the gap for him to get from 14 to 2 is like way bigger than what he's jumped so far. So some interesting stuff, and I think Kyle Pitts is a good example of how the tight end position scored. All right, tight end one on the season is Mark Andrews, 89 yards, 8 catches, 2 touchdowns, tight end one on the season. He's at 2.75 yards per route run, which is just a dominant number. Last year, the high was 2.4, right? So, I mean, and he's just exploded. Again, early season stuff here, and I'm sure that he's bound for a little bit of regression, but my God, is he awesome. And again, like, this is the difference. Like, I had a lot of pause taking Pitts. Like, I know Pitts belongs up there at the top of the position in tight end premium stuff, but I had a hard time putting him above Andrews because I just you're going to see it a win. And we kind of had that suspicion, kind of thought that, right? Half a win to a win. And then you could potentially seed a couple of them over 2 years. Like, that's a lot to have to make up on the backside of his career. So I know that he has a long-term really good prognosis for his career development. Pitts does. But Andrews, like, is kind of already there. And it's a big, again, it's a steep jump from going where Pitts was to sort of going all the way up to the top of the position. It is a steep jump. And I think that the guys that have already done it, you know, we've done this list of guys who have basically gotten all the way there. It's not that many over the past like decade. It's not that many. So when you get one that gets there, you hold on to it. And that's kind of where Andrews and Kelsey are at this point. All right. Dawson Knox is tight end 24 on the season. So only 9 catches, 71 yards and 2 touchdowns or 0 touchdowns. So we'll see here, you know, maybe some additional usage, but he's such a big touchdown scorer the past couple of years. Just the fact that he hasn't gotten any yet. We'll see, you know, hopefully that'll balance out a little bit in terms of his production, but kind of a disappointing beginning to his season. Let's go down here. Carolina, I'm refusing to talk about. Chicago, Cole Kmet is on the board. 2 for 40. He is tight end 51 in the season. Tough to trust in any format. I'm interested in like a situational buy low as like an injury away player. I wrote that on Sunday night. Then I like started to test myself about like, all right, like who would I be willing to do? Like, do I really want to trade Jamal Williams for Cole Kmet? And again, this is after Swift is hurt. Like, Jamal Williams probably going to be in lineups. Cole Kmet almost certainly not going to be. All right. So again, is Cole Kmet a decent sort of longer term play? Yeah, I think I'd much rather pay for it through like a wide receiver uptick or, you know, someone lower that's not like a priority injury away running back. Like, I have a hard time sort of paying for Cole Kmet right now based on where he's at. And there's not a ton there to like in that Chicago passing offense. So it's kind of my position on him. All right, Cincinnati, Hayden Hurst got just 26 snaps and 20 routes. He actually played behind Mitchell Wilcox. So put Mitchell Wilcox on the board for a mention for the year. Hurst had a groin injury coming into the game. So I think that's probably more to do with like Hurst than like Hurst losing his job. No, he's a big route participation guy, kind of in that Logan Thomas 2020 lane of the position. So we'll be watching for his development here, but you know, his injury development here. But he's more of an accumulator at this point, and needs to have that route participation way up for him to be productive. Okay, David Njoku, 27 to 33 routes, 10 targets. It's a really good number. His next highest targets outside of Amari Cooper was actually 4 for Hunt. So they really, Njoku and Cooper really took over this passing game here, basically, you know, running, essentially getting 2/3 of the routes, pretty close to 2/3 of the targets in this offense this week. Bryant is running 14 routes and zero targets this past week. So this really was a consolidation year. Again, I don't know how much that's going to happen on a week-to-week basis, right? I think you're going to get some Donovan Peoples-Jones fluctuation. But, I mean, Joku's at tight end 9 on the season. Again, you get one of these games, and that's kind of what happens to you at the tight end position. So, you know, we'll see here. I think he's definitely in your – I'm not saying he's a lineup lock because he's probably not our tight end 1 if we have him, but he's definitely in that tight end 2, you know, streaming situation. And, again, now we're starting to – we're going to begin to and we had some conversations about this in the group me chat. Like, this is kind of AOD – pardon my French for a second here – but this is AOD season to kick ass. Right, like this is like now you start to get some injuries. We're in on Madison, but it, maybe not that. Like Delvin Cook's going to play through that shoulder injury, it looks like. But we're in on a guy like Jamal Williams, right? We're in on some backup running backs. Khalil Herbert might be a guy that we have some of. You know, so we're just going to kind of keep like this is where we sort of everyone else fritters away and we sort of expand upon it. So guys like Joku are going to sort of fit in that conversation. So you have to sort of play with that and think about sort of where those guys are going to be for you in your lineup. Okay, so I'm recording this Monday afternoon. Dallas plays Monday night, and it looks like, for what it's worth, it does appear that there's some notification just now that it doesn't look like Dalton Schultz is going to play. So for what that's worth, we'll be watching that story play out here over the next couple of weeks here. Okay, Denver, again, that game was pretty brutal. They're a tough watch right now. I think a couple of things are kind of clear. Alberto is basically half the routes. He's basically almost entirely their pass-centric guy. Saubert and Tomlinson combined for 17 routes and 40 dropbacks. Alberto had 21 routes and only had 2 targets. Those 21 routes came on 24 snaps. So, again, when he's in, they're basically throwing the ball is essentially what they're kind of telling us. You know, I kind of wonder where the development angle is for him. He goes 1 for 12. You know, struggling in that sort of super efficient lane of the position, not really being that guy right now. So we'll have to see if this is a situation he could grow into or if he's just kind of like a depth play at this point in his career. So I don't think he's near lineups right now with a ton of confidence. TJ Hockenson, 3 for 18 on 4 targets and a touchdown, only 30 of 44 routes. So again, we sort of thought coming into the season, like, hey, he could be kind of that accumulator guy. Like, he hasn't really proven to be that. And honestly, he's had a, like, we could sort of go into this a little bit more, but I've talked a little bit about this. He's had a disappointing career so far. This is year 4, right? And he should really be making a difference. 10 catches, 82 yards, 8.2 yards per catch, and a touchdown. He's tight end 12 in overall points on the season. That's not, like, that's disappointing for a top 10 tight end. Like, he just hasn't really sort of broken all the way out yet. I'm pretty tepid on him. And I'm interested in a potential, if there is a potential, I don't know if it's a sell high, like if there's a sell high window that opens up, when you can get like a top 6 valuation out of him, I'm interested in that, but I just don't see that coming right now. So you know, that's kind of the hang up here for me so far. By the way, I did want to note Zach Ertz, number 2 in expected points per game so far. So just for what that's worth, I did want to point that out. The PFF numbers have come in, so I'm able to sort of cite that. And I wanted to cite that one for Zach Ertz. Okay. So again, Hockenson, a bit of a disappointment. Again, he's tight end 10 in expectation, but performing, you know, he's got 30.5 expected points. He's got 24.2 actual points. He's well under in terms of yardage. You know, he's under a couple of catches. I've been disappointed with his trajectory so far. And again, I think he's one of those cautionary tales of like, yeah, you can kind of bet on development or hope for development, but you got to be really careful sort of betting in that middle range of the position because you can get sort of trapped. And I think he's kind of we're feeling that from him right now. Tanyan feels in Green Bay feels a little like a little bit of a Logan Thomas-ish type of player in terms of aggregating, but he's not sort of getting the routes, right? So like you looked at Logan Thomas a couple of years ago when he sort of had that just massive route participation, then they threw it a ton and he just sort of aggregated his way to a top five season. Him and Tanyan have basically, you know, Tanyan's route has always been like a super efficient route. That's how he got up to the top of the position. Logan Thomas now is much more of like a lower volume aggregator. So you take a drop off from that, you know, 95%+ route participation, and now all of a sudden it's 60% or 65%, sort of in that range, which Tanyan is in. And like that's a pretty steep drop off, right? So you just kind of blend in at that range. So Tanyan, and we'll talk about Logan Thomas in a minute, but they're very similar in sort of that range, tight end 18 for Tanyan at this point in total points. You just don't feel great about that. It's kind of a struggle to feel super enthusiastic about where he is at on his trajectory with that usage. Houston. This is kind of incredible. So O.J. Howard played 17 snaps in this game. He played behind Pharaoh Brown, who we talked about in the previous show, wondering if he's going to play. Pharaoh Brown plays 48 snaps, 17 routes. Brevin Jordan does not play, but Jordan Akins, who was cut by the Giants, brought in 18 snaps, ran 14 routes, and he's basically like the receiving-centric guy. O.J. Howard, 17 snaps and only 3 routes. So I think he's run 9 routes since he had that 2 touchdown breakout in week 1. That's like a cooked career. Like that's really not good. Again, like that was probably your chance to sell high. And I think the NFL's told us what the deal is on OJ Howard. He's just not the guy. So Indy, there's a little bit of variation here. So Mo Alie-Cox usage up 23 routes, 13 for Kylan Granson. That's a notable uptick. However, 1 for 9 for Mo Alie-Cox, 2 for 7 for Granson. Jelani Woods scored 2 touchdowns, but was playing less than 25% of snaps. Not really prioritizing a backup spot for him, really at this point. It's just it's basically some fluke good opportunity outcomes based on some low usage, but otherwise not super interested in playing Jelani Woods at this point. Okay, Jacksonville, 3 targets on 32 routes for our friend Evan Ingram. This offense is actually cooking out to be pretty good. However, like you look at it and there's still some there's still a little bit of question here, like 6.7 yards per attempt for Trevor Lawrence. I know that he was throwing it down in the red zone a bit, so there's some of that as well going on. I'm not sure he has a true deep threat either. Zay Jones, Christian Kirk, like I'm not sure they're sort of unlocking a vertical element in this game, but Evan Ingram, 1 catch, 9 yards. So I think there's probably better days to come for him. When you look, like he's tight end 14 in expected points per game. So he's expected points total, and in expected points per game, he is actually at 17 with 8.3, and he's underperforming that with 6.8. That's in straight PPR. I'm citing all straight PPR, by the way, for the tight end stats for this show. So again, sort of fits in that range. If you're sort of looking at a 2 PPR setting, like he might be, you know, in sort of your flex consideration, but probably as we sort of get in farther into the season, we're going to have that filled a little bit more by running backs. I would note as well, I think as we sort of think about roster construction more and more, I think maybe the tight end viability, right? It's always nice in tight end premium leagues to have extra tight ends to play in your flex. I think as we sort of go further on into the season, like they might be a lesser option sort of mid-season than they are at the beginning of the season, where you don't maybe have the running backs to sort of cycle through on the back end of your roster. Tight ends are particularly valuable to do that early on. So I do think there is some edge there to maybe even prioritizing some of that roster construction space early on. And, you know, I was able to get a third for a guy like Juwan Johnson, and a third for Tyler Conklin, I think is totally possible as well. So like you can sort of do that, and then, you know, as the season goes on, you know, can kind of cycle through the back end of your roster a little bit with some of those good starts. Okay, so Kansas City, Noah Gray ran 12 of 42 snaps. He's incorporating some work. They're running a little bit more two tight end action in their passing game at the expense of their wide receiver three. Kelce is the top graded tight end through 2 weeks, and then he is also he's right up there. I don't think they have the full grades yet. I'm just checking. This is stunning audio, I know. They didn't when I checked right before recording, but I just realized that the that some of them are in because we have Kelce takes a backseat actually behind Andrews. A little downtick for Kelce this week. Andrews goes way up, and Andrews might have like an all-time great grade this week. Yeah, Andrews is a really good grade this week, up there in the top five of the position, actually right behind Pitts and Joku. So really good stuff there for those guys. On the regular season, it is actually Kelce with 2.21 yards per route run. So I have some notes here from that. Last year, he was at 1.92. And again, we sort of talked about some of that stuff about like, hey, is this an indication? Because it was a pretty massive drop off. Like it was a big drop off of 2020, and really a drop off even from like a lower, a little bit lower, but a very sturdy, a high end plateau in basically the 2.1 to 2.2 range of the position of yards per route run from basically 2016 to 2019, right? 2020 was a huge uptick, but then it really cratered off last year. Again, still high at 1.92. Was it 2.19 yards per route run? So that fits really into like that high plateau with which he's in producing tight end one finishes. So in 2019, 2.15, 2018, 2.24, 2017, 2.09, 2016, 2.25. So this 2.19 fits sort of right into that range of the position. So I feel much better about where he is trajectory wise so far through this season than I did last year, because I said like, hey, kind of like the Derrick Henry stuff, like, hey, if it starts to slide, like this would be what it would begin to look like. But he sort of beat back some of those concerns for me through 3 weeks of the season. Again, he's up there. I believe he's second in yards per route run. Let's see. Yep, he's second in yards per route run behind Andrews. Andrews is worth a half a yard more per route run than Kelce. It's just an extraordinary, extraordinary performance through 2 weeks for Andrews. And then Goddard's actually three at 1.79. So, and Higbee's actually up there top five as well. So Higbee, Pat Freiermuth is up there at six as well. So seventh for Kyle Pitts. So Kyle Pitts is actually doing pretty well from he's down from last year in terms of the yards per route run, but he's still up high at the position, but the route participation is low. So it's just a really interesting thing. Again, he's down a bit. He was north of two last year in terms of yards per route run, if memory serves. And now he's down. Yeah, he was at 2.02. So now he's down to 1.69. So that's a pretty good drop off, and the route participation is down. So that's why you sort of see him struggling. All right, so that detour aside, let's move on to the Chargers here. And we got Gerald Everett, 34 snaps. 34 routes, only 12 for Trey McKitty. So this is a clear job in his favor. Donald Parham's probably going to work his way back, but it's going to definitely be working his way back into the tight end two range of the depth chart. So Gerald Everett's done a pretty good job to secure this depth chart so far on the season. He's top 10 in yards per route run as well, north of 1.6. He is tight end 8 on the season at 10.7 points per game. Okay, the Rams. Tyler Higbee's eating, basically. He's just kind of killing it. Four catches, 61 yards on 24 routes, 27 dropbacks. So, again, high participation. North of 2 yards per route run. Team only ran 48 snaps in this game. So, this game might feel a little depressed sort of across the board. It's not great for Stafford either, but only 40, like less than 50 snaps. So you would expect that to bounce back. Again, this is some of that garbage time nonsense that's going on for Arizona. They're just sort of running a ton of plays while they're down and sucking the life out of the game. Kind of what you saw with the Rams getting ahead. So notably, Tyler Higbee at 1.73 yards per route run. not 7.3. That would be a record. 1.73, and that's fifth, again, behind Andrews, Kelsey, Goddard, Disley, and then Higbee. He's not really ever been that guy, so that's actually a notable development. One thing I found pretty interesting too, he has 16% of his routes he's actually been targeted on this year. Career average is 13.1. So he's definitely fit into the secondary receiving role in this offense much better than I maybe gave him credit for coming in. When you look, he's at 1.73 this year. He's actually at 2.6 yards per route run in 2019. And then has basically from that rest of that time been kind of like in the low 1.1, 1.2. He had a 1.4 season in 2020, but again, he's kind of been maybe a little bit above league average. It would be the best way I would describe him. So this is a pretty big step forward from where he is in his career. Again, not the 2019 breakout, but certainly up at the position in a way that I certainly wasn't expecting this year. I thought it was going to be last year was the potential chance for him to have a breakout. I was kind of maybe a little bit disillusioned by that. And as you sort of look at the, we sort of understand the position a little bit better. You sort of need that high efficiency, big step forward in that. So we like to see that he's basically running all the routes and is essentially their second option in the passing game. So I don't necessarily see that going anywhere either. So good on Higbee. He's having a pretty good season. He's definitely in your line of considerations. Again, he's probably more your tight end two. Where I have him, he's tight end two, tight end three. And just kind of gobbling up those snap opportunities. Again, if you can sort of churn it over and get production at a different position, I think that's a valuable thing to do with Higbee at this point. Waller, 42 routes for 15 for Moreau. Waller went 3 for 22. Moreau went 3 for 44. So some interesting stuff there. Waller's usage is down a little bit. He hasn't gotten to the full yards per route run, or he hasn't gotten to the full route participation that we like to see as of yet. I'm not sure. I think schematically they're still trying to figure this out a little bit. One thing we do know that Mac Hollins is seeing all the routes. So we'll see here with Waller as this sort of thing fleshes out a little bit. But I wonder if some of the ceiling has come off of him just because he is not running the same route participation that maybe we would have expected. Okay, speaking of route participation not being what we expected, Mike Gesicki, 17 snaps, 7 routes, 1 target. Durham Smythe, 32 snaps, 10 routes, 3 targets. Gesicki is absolutely unusable right now, and it's not getting better. So, at this point, he's basically roster clogging you. He's not a cut, I don't think. I think you'd have to be in a pretty shell league for him to be a cut. I do think he's going to get an opportunity in free agency to see an uptake in his value. And I think a team that wants what he has to offer, like he has stuff to offer. Like I think he's a good pass catching tight end. I don't think he's great, but he's good. And he's just not a particularly good fit for what they do. So, and we're sort of seeing that he's getting. Like it's a tough franchise tag year for him. So disappointing there for him. And again, maybe it's better that he was on the tag than he was like signed long term, because there would be he'd be in total purgatory as compared to there's a light at the end of the tunnel for him. So I'm going to put out some stuff on rebuilding. And I think that Gesicki is one of those guys that like I'm interested in taking a shot on. All right, Minnesota. Irv Smith is getting more work after Munn outsnapped him early on in the season. Smith, 37 snaps, 25 routes. So that's pretty good. 6 targets this week. Munn, 28 snaps, 7 routes. So again, like 3/4 of his snaps he's actually blocking on, 2 targets. Ben Ellefson is basically one of their blocking options as well. Had a couple of targets. Irv Smith, 2 for 32 in the passing game. Again, so not a total cash in on this, but I think that's an encouraging sign maybe as we sort of see him get phased in more and more into the season. New England is a complete I don't trust Hunter Henry. Again, I think maybe he's in the Gesicki lane of like, are you potentially trying to stash for the future? I think we're in kind of the like, hey, is he a is he a cut candidate next year? Like, is that sort of where we're at? Like, they did a bad job of spending all that money last year. Yeah, I mean, this is just like they could save basically $10.5 million by cutting him in the offseason. His cap number is $15.5 million. Again, he'll be 29. So, like, he still has, I think, something to offer. And again, he was good last year, right? So, I this situation feels kind of destitute right now. And especially now you're going to go to Brian Hoyer. Like, this is a tough situation. So, Hunter Henry is going to be a tough guy to sort of get in lineups. Jonnu Smith, again, he's playing half the time that Hunter Henry is. Like, he's ran 15 routes. Yeah, he went 4 for 25, but that's more fluky, really, than it is, you know, him doing anything. So, just a totally bad situation. It's incredible that they paid this much money for these two guys, and we're seeing five catches for 33 yards. Like, that's just brutal. All right, New Orleans, Juwan Johnson still playing ahead of Troutman. I actually got a third and a fourth in tight end premium for Juwan Johnson. I can't really argue with that. Like, he wasn't even really in my lineups. So I just sort of had him on my bench. And so, yeah, I'll take the picks and recycle some depth chart spots for sure. Troutman up to 12. Up to actually 12 routes this week after playing very little and blocking most of his snaps. Basically blocking on 3/4 of his snaps still. So, pretty tough usage there for him. We thought he had some receiving capabilities coming in, just not really so much. All right, the Jets, and we have our 2022 nomination for the Logan Thomas just volume eating award, with a cooking 53.6 PFF grade and a 1.05 yards per route run. Tyler Conklin leads the league in routes, actually just ahead of Zach Ertz, who's then they're basically 20 routes ahead of Hayden Hurst. All those guys have below 8.5 yards per catch. So again, we have a lot of Logan Thomas candidates this year. It's a great year to be alive in terms of the tight end production here. Conklin, Ertz, and Hayden Hurst. 1.05 yards per route run for Conklin, 1.04 yards per route run for Zach Ertz, and 0.7 yards per route run for Hayden Hurst. Or sorry, 1.04 for Ertz, and then 0.7 for Hurst. So, talk about just aggregating. So, a lot of aggregating going on. That's basically the deal with Conklin. He has the big game here. I'm selling him off of this. Like, if I can get a second in a tight end premium format, I'm doing that 100 times over. Can I get like a third plus sort of an injury weight guy? I'm interested in doing that as well. Can I get him? Like, can he be part of a package that potentially goes up the board? I'm interested in that as well. Like, I'm interested in moving. This is the week to move Tyler Conklin. So definitely get on that. He's got 5 targets in every game. His yards per route run is pretty low. This was his most productive game. And he was basically producing at like a 0.6 yards per route run pace through a couple of weeks, right? His 8 catches on 84 yards and 8 targets, that is impressive. But he's totally aggregating at this point. And just not at a good efficiency either. 44 routes for only 11 for Uzama. He's got a clear lock on the jab. Again, this is the opportunity to sell. Philly, Goddard, 3 for 26. He only ran 23 dropbacks on 23 routes on 41 dropbacks. However, he had a shin injury. He returned to the game, scored a touchdown. I believe it was in the second quarter of that game. So again, he's up at the high end of the position in terms of the efficiency stuff, right at 1.79. So he's third. He's third, and you know, he's got about about 80% of the route participation as well. So yeah, we'll see. He's kind of coming along, and we just need some more touchdowns. It's basically, I think, the explanation with where we're at on him. And when you go and you look, he's actually in terms of points, expected points per game so far, Goddard is at, he's actually 18th, which is notable. He's way overperforming it. So he is expected for only 87 receiving yards, and he has 168. So way over producing. So good production there for him. Again, it's not tight end. It's not touchdown based. It's not fluke based. It's a lot of overproduction there. Similar with Kelce. Him and Kelce are both way over in terms of yardage expectations. So we'll see here. Positive indicators. Maybe the volume continues to go up, and we sort of get some touchdown work here. He's got one touchdown through three games. Maybe that'll go up. Grant Calcaterra played 17 snaps, only ran 5 routes. It's actually Jack Stoll, who's tight end too. 37 snaps, 15 routes, 2 targets. So if anything happens to Goddard, that's a guy that could potentially stream him. Pat Freiermuth is tight end 10. Route participation was low, 21 of 33 routes. And I surmise that he was staying in to help block. That's kind of what was going on in this game a bit with that good D-line. So no concerns there for him. Again, I think he's kind of in the higher end tier of that, like, other guys that aren't elite guys, basically. You know, that kind of second tier of the tight end position, which you kind of have to be careful in. Like, he's a fine option in there. But, again, how much do you want to pay for him is another story. Can he vault you up, maybe off a good week or something like that, to can he be a package piece in another move-up deal? I'm interested in doing something like that. But, again, he's on a good arc to start his career. So I don't think it's fluky. He's not like a sell in the sense of Conklin being a sell. It's not the best. Tight ends like Freiermuth, if they're not going to be elite, they tend to be much more jaggish than they do difference making. We got Kittle back as well, so that was good. Kittle, it was a quiet game for him, but it was a rough game to watch. Just not a particularly it's funny because we think about people think about and actually, like, I had a conversation with someone at just a family get together. They were like, "Oh, I don't understand the problems with Garoppolo," and I'm like, "Yeah, well, like, you know, it's tough to sort of explain Garoppolo to people," but you kind of are like, "All right, he can struggle a bit. Like, I don't think he's this big difference maker," and we sort of get some we get some usage off of him that looks a lot like this Sunday night game. Kittle was in on 51 of 56 snaps, so we love to see that. 26 routes on 33 dropbacks. He had 4 targets. So, again, the number's not great. But I think we can sort of see these kind of dud games from Garoppolo. Again, it's his first start, so we'll see. They lost in this game only 10 points. Garoppolo had a 14.2 quarterback rating, so that's not good either. Sacked 4 times. And Kittle, again, 4 for 28. Like, you'll take it. It's 10 points in safe leagues. Like, you'll take it. But I think there's better days to come. And again, it's his first game back, and it's Garoppolo's first game. So we'll see here how this goes over in the future. But I'm not super worried about Kittle. I'm not really worried about Kittle at all. All right, Seattle. Disley and Fant are splitting routes with Parkinson, like, playing a third guy. It's a total mess. Disley, 3 for 34 and a touchdown this week. Parkinson, 2 for 44. Fant, 4 for 27. Again, Disley playing 44 snaps to 38 for Fant, 26 for Parkinson. So you see, it's a clear tiering, but there's a lot of participation from those three guys. 22 routes for Disley, 22 for Fant, 19 for Parkinson. So Parkinson, much more the receiving-centric guy in this offense, with Fant and Disley basically playing two-way production. So we'll watch here for this going forward, but it's a tough spot. Fant kind of fits in that Gesicki, what the hell do you do type of range, the position right now. Kind of tough. He's kind of tough. And again, he doesn't have a clear out. Where Gesicki has a clear out, he doesn't have the clear out. So it's going to be a long hold, I think, in terms of production. Or can you use him to potentially move up the position if someone's looking for a piece in a rebuild? Like, I think that's probably your best use for Fant, to try and sell someone some optimism, or, you know, if you're sort of in that range, to be the buy low guy. But it feels tough because you know it's going to be a long hold and you're not going to have him in your lineups. All right, Tampa, Cameron Brate's the clear guy. Rudolph played 9 snaps. He didn't play the first couple of games. He ran 4 routes and had 1 target, but pretty limited usage. Again, it is Brate being the guy ahead of everybody else there. So for what that's worth, Tennessee, Jeff Swain playing more snaps, 39 to Austin Hooper's 24. Each ran 12 routes on 28 dropbacks, but Swaim was targeted 3 times to only 2 for Hooper. Swaim got the touchdown. I don't think it's really an actionable situation, right? It's kind of a mess. Right? I don't think you feel good about putting anyone in there. Maybe if Swaim, in some deeper premium leagues or something like that, Swaim might be a guy that's out there in the event that there's a Hooper injury or something like that. But I don't think either of these guys are in your lineups. All right. Now, and last but not least, Washington. The Logan Thomas formula is a bit in array, in disarray, only running 60 to 70% of routes. He ran 32 routes on 53 opportunities last week, 36 routes on 55 opportunities this week. Bates and Rodgers are splitting behind him, with Bates being, a cut at this point. And, Logan Thomas is going to be kind of in the back, right? He's in that big tier of guys in the back half of the tight end ones through the tight end twos. That's a basically a big range that's kind of going to be dependent on who scores more touchdowns. So Logan Thomas is fitting in there. I don't think he's got the difference-making opportunities without him participating in 80, 90% of routes. So, that's pretty much it for your tight end position. It's a bit depressing at different spots, but there is some hope still. So we're excited for that, and we'll continue to churn through these and look for more opportunities as the season unfolds. So that'll do it for the tight end position for week 3. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.